Hello, and thank you for joining us for the March 30, 2022 reading of the Environment Program. This is Karen Wheeler, and today we will be reading the following main articles. Bobcats with a taste for python eggs might be the guardians of Florida's swamp. Written by Matt Kaplan for the Science section of the New York Times. The Keeper of Sacred Bees Who Took on a Giant. Written by Gemma Tarlack for the Environment Desk at Atlas Obscura. Inside the Heroic Effort to Rescue Masha the Bear from Ukraine. Written by Natasha Daly for National Geographic. And of course, if we have time, following up with miscellaneous articles. First up, bobcats with a taste for python eggs might be the guardians of Florida's swamp. Cameras captured the wild feline purloining a Burmese python egg, giving hope that the state's native species are responding to a voracious, invasive predator. By Matt Kaplan. The voracious appetite of the invasive Burmese python is causing Florida's mammal and bird populations to plummet. With little natural competition to control the big snake's numbers, the situation looks desperate. But new observations suggest that the bobcat, a wildcat native to Florida, might be able to help. A team of ecologists collected evidence recently of a bobcat devouring python eggs in the Big Cypress National Preserve in Florida, and last month reported their findings in the journal Ecology and Evolution. It's hard to say whether this individual cat was more adventurous than the average bobcat, but it suggests one potential way the python's proliferation could be limited by other animals eating their unhatched young. The event was captured by a motion-sensitive camera that a team led by Andrea Curiello, an ecologist at the U.S. Geological Survey, deployed in June 2021 near the nest of a large female Burmese python. The camera had been put in place to better understand the reproductive biology of these huge snakes. A few hours after installation, the snake slithered away and the camera snapped shots of a bobcat arriving and eating python eggs during the early evening. "We were completely floored," Dr. Curiello said. "We had no idea that the nests of these snakes were being depredated." Apparently, the feline decided it rather liked what it had found because it came back for another snack 3 times that night. The next morning, the bobcat returned to cache uneaten eggs in the ground to consume at a later date. Then, that evening, the bobcat returned again, but this time the python was back on her nest. Weighing about 20 pounds, the feline was clearly aware that the 115-pound python posed a serious threat, and rather than trying to eat more eggs, it padded around the nest at a safe distance for a few minutes before leaving. The next night, the camera took a photo of the two predators in a face-off. Apparently, the bobcat felt the clutch was worth fighting for because it returned in the morning and aggravated the python enough to prompt an attack. The strike, which missed the cat, triggered the camera. So too did a counterattack by the bobcat as it made swipes with its claws at the enormous reptile. Precisely how the duel ended is unclear, but when the researchers arrived that evening to collect the camera, they found the snake sitting on a badly damaged nest. "We thought the snake must have caused the damage herself by somehow crushing her own eggs," Dr. Curiello said, "but then we saw the photos and, Well, it was just incredible. The researchers removed the snake and analyzed the nest in detail. They found that 42 eggs had been destroyed and that 22 were damaged but potentially viable. They collected these eggs and incubated them. None hatched. While it is possible that this interaction was just an isolated incident, it is also possible that native species are beginning to respond to the presence of the python. Most cat species adapt their diet to what's available, so bobcats predating on python eggs is actually not that surprising, said Matthias Tobler, a wildlife ecologist with the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. Reptile eggs are already a part of the Florida bobcat diet. Bobcats are known to eat sea turtle eggs, and these may have similarities to python eggs. Egg hunting in bobcats is really a learned behavior, Dr. Tobler said. Once some individuals figure out how to prey on python eggs, they could potentially do this quite regularly. Of course, the big difference between pythons' nests and those of sea turtles is that the snake nests are usually guarded. But Dr. Curilo also points out that female pythons typically go without food until their eggs are about to hatch. That might be the main reason the bobcat survived its adventure. Whether these felines will eat enough eggs to turn the tide against the python invasion remains to be seen. The keeper of sacred bees who took on a giant. To save her native Maya bees and their shrinking forests, Les Depeches waged a fierce campaign on multiple fronts. Written by Gemma Tarlach for the Environment Desk at Atlas Obscura. For the Maya, the honeybee is more than an insect. For millennia, the tiny stingless species Melipona beechii, much smaller than Apis mellifera, the European honeybee, has been revered in the Maya homeland in what is now Central America. Honey, made by the animal the Maya call Shinankab, has long been used in a sacred drink and as medicine to treat a host of ailments from fevers to animal bites. The god of bees appears in relief on the walls of the imposing sea cliff fortress of Tulum, the sprawling inland complex of Coba and other ancient sites. Today, in small, open-sided, thatched-roof structures deep in the tropical forests of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, traditional beekeepers still tend to Shinankab colonies. The bees emerge from narrow openings in their hollow log homes each morning to forage for pollen and nectar among the lush forest flowers and, increasingly, the cultivated crops beyond the forest's shrinking borders. And that is where the sacred bee of the Maya gets into trouble. In 2012, the Mexican government granted permission to Monsanto to plant genetically modified soybeans in Campeche and other states on the peninsula without first consulting local communities. The soybeans are engineered to withstand high doses of the controversial weed killer Roundup. Multiple studies have shown that exposure to its main ingredient, glyphosate, negatively impacts bees, including by impairing behavior and changing the composition of the animal's gut microbiome. Though soy is self-pollinating and doesn't rely on insects, bees do visit the plants while foraging, collecting nectar and pollen as they go. Soon, Maya beekeepers found their bees disoriented and dying in high numbers. And Les Depeches found her voice. a traditional Maya beekeeper from the small Campeche city of Hopeten. Pesh had long advocated for sustainable agriculture and the integration of indigenous knowledge into modern practice. But the new threat to her Shinan Cob stirred her to action as never before. She led an assault on the Monsanto program on multiple fronts, legal, academic, and public outrage, including staging protests at ancient Maya sites. The crux of the legal argument by Pesh and her allies was that the government had violated its own law by failing to consult with indigenous communities before granting the permit to Monsanto. In 2015, Mexico's Supreme Court unanimously agreed. 2 years later, the government revoked the permit to plant the crops. As Pesh saw it, the fight was not simply about protecting the sacred bee. The campaign was to protect entire ecosystems, the communities that rely on them, and a way of life increasingly threatened by the rise of industrial agriculture, climate change, and deforestation. "Bees depend on the plants in the forest to produce honey," she told the public radio program Living on Earth in 2021. "So, less forest means less honey, which means less money for families who keep bees. The killing of our bees has led to more poverty in our communities." The legal argument Pesh and her allies used to take on Monsanto has already become a playbook for other indigenous communities facing similar challenges. In 2020, Pesh received the Goldman Environmental Prize, sometimes called the Green Nobel, for her fierce protection of the bees and the health of her community and its land. She now uses her voice to advocate for environmental causes throughout the Americas and stresses that the fight is not over, even in the dense forests where her bees forage. Despite her group's legal victories, she says the so-called Roundup Ready soy continues to be planted illegally in the region. Pesh, who described her calling as a beekeeper as ancestral, told Living on Earth, "Struggles like these are long and generational, and it's our responsibility to involve our children and our grandchildren in our fight for justice. Because in the end, having land to call your own is having a sense of belonging." Inside the heroic effort to rescue Masha the bear from Ukraine. As the Russian invasion passes the one-month mark, caretakers are scrambling to save animals, too. Written by Natasha Daly. When Masha, a Eurasian brown bear, arrived last week at Halmo on the Romanian side of the border with Ukraine, the crossing was crowded with refugees, mothers and children, grandmothers and grandfathers, young women traveling alone. Masha was resting in the back of the van her caretaker, Lionel Delang, had rented to evacuate her from the country. While waiting to cross the border, he opened the back door to let her have some fresh air. It had been a long 20-hour drive. Soon, people started to approach, curious about the animal. Delang was nervous about how they would react.
"When we've done animal rescues in the past, people ask, 'Why are you helping animals and not people?'" he says.
When he saw people walking over,
"I really thought they were going to give us crap about this."
But no one did.
"She brought a smile to some really, really sad faces," he says. "I think they understood that she was going through the same thing as they were, that she had nowhere to go and no one to look after her."
Masha and Delang's story
puts a spotlight not only on the non-human victims of Russia's brutal war, but also on the caretakers in Ukraine who are risking their lives to save animals. Some, like DeLang, founder and director of Warriors of Wildlife, a Ukraine-based rescue organization, undertake dangerous journeys to escort animals to safety. Others remain at home, caring for pets or captive wild animals at zoos and sanctuaries amid dwindling food supplies and the strain of constant bombardment. "Everyone is scared," DeLang says, "because we don't know what's coming." On March 21, Masha finally arrived at Liberty Bear Sanctuary. That's Liberty, Bear Sanctuary, in Zarnesti, Romania, home to 117 brown bears rescued from circuses, monasteries, hotels, and tourist attractions nearly all in Europe. Masha was one of the first bears evacuated from Ukraine in the wake of Russia's invasion. She joins lions, tigers, and other captive animals who are finding refuge in Romania, Poland, Germany, and other European countries. DeLang saved Masha in 2018 from a traveling circus. Now 22, she'd spent 18 years performing tricks in shows after being taken from her mother as an infant, when she wasn't made to walk on tight ropes, ride bicycles, or balance balls, he says. She lived in a small cage in the back of a truck. His team established a large enclosure for her on some farmland in Sambir, close to Lviv. But last year the landowner ended their contract. DeLang would have to find a new home for Masha. Liberty Bear Sanctuary, the largest for brown bears in the world, had a spot for Masha. "We agreed we'd move her on February 28," DeLang says. "On Thursday morning, the 24th, we woke up to shelling and we were under attack." 2 days later, DeLang had to flee his home in Kherson, now under Russian occupation and in humanitarian crisis because of the lack of food and medical supplies. He walked and hitchhiked to Romania, where he started hunting for a vehicle he could use to take to Ukraine to get Masha. After being turned down by 6 rental companies, he finally secured a van and packed it with 1,600 pounds of food, medical, and personal hygiene supplies to bring to people in Ukraine. DeLang says he told the rental agency, "I'm going into Ukraine with aid, but I didn't tell them I was bringing a bear back." Back in Sambir, on March 20, where Masha was being cared for by a Warriors of Wildlife employee, DeLang sedated the bear to get her into her transport cage and began the 20-hour drive back to Romania. By the time they arrived at Liberty, another 10 hours from the Ukraine border, Masha was pacing frantically in circles, refusing to eat or to leave her cage. "It brought back memories, I think, of being in the traveling circus again," DeLang says. "In the evening when she arrived, it was terrible for all of us," says Christina Lapis, founder and director of Liberty Bear Sanctuary. "She didn't want to drink or eat anything. She refused honey. She just trembled." By the next morning, Masha was doing a bit better. Timidly, she stepped out onto the grass. She discovered her swimming pool, looking at her reflection in the water, and through the fence of her enclosure, she saw other bears. "Imagine 22 years never seeing another bear," Lapis says. "When she saw the other bears and began to smell them, we were all crying." As the war continues, Lapis is getting calls about bears around Ukraine. Next week, The sanctuary is set to receive a 15-year-old abandoned brown bear found in a cage outside a bombed restaurant. The animals who remain there, we just can't leave behind, she says. More than 3.5 million Ukrainians have fled the country, according to the United Nations, and Masha is just one of many animals who've been evacuated. Seven bears from White Rock Bear Shelter in Kyiv were brought to a sanctuary in western Ukraine on March 6. Several lions and tigers from Wild Animal Rescue, also in Kyiv, were transported to a zoo in Poland. Many Ukrainian refugees have brought their cats, dogs, rabbits, hamsters, and other pets with them to countries including Romania, Poland, and Hungary. All three have waived standard vaccine or health check requirements for many pets. Tens of thousands of animals, however, remain in zoos, farms, sanctuaries, shelters, and on the streets all over Ukraine. Food, especially in places under heavy artillery fire, is scarce, and many areas are inaccessible to outside aid. Zoos and sanctuaries report that their animals are traumatized by bombings, cowering at air raid sirens and blasts, running into fences, even abandoning their babies. Some sanctuaries report that animals have died from shock. At the Kyiv Zoo, a caretaker sleeps with a terrified elephant every night to soothe him. At Nikolaev Zoo, in the Black Sea port of Mykolaiv, three members of the staff were killed in a bomb strike. Valentina and Leonid Stoyanov, veterinarians in Odessa, have rescued dozens of animals, wild and domestic, since the war began. With support from their Instagram and TikTok followers, they've been able to buy food for their charges and those at several nearby shelters. Our lives are completely destroyed. We now no longer have a future, Valentina says. In spite of this, we get up every day and do not give up. Thousands of abandoned animals need us. They're hungry, scared, and not to blame for the fact that war broke out in our country. This week, DeLange plans to return to Ukraine to evacuate a lion, now being kept as a pet in Sambir. He plans eventually to move the lion to Warriors of Wildlife Sanctuary in South Africa's Eastern Cape. Of his trip from Romania to pick up Masha, he says, "Driving into Ukraine, I was happy. I was scared, but happy, because it must be done. It's just something that needs to be done." How you can help. The following are just some of the groups working to help Ukraine's animals. Visit their websites to learn more about how to get involved. Warriors of Wildlife, the Ukraine-based group that rescued Masha. Liberty Bear Sanctuary in Romania, where Masha now lives. Leonid and Valentina Stoyanov, that's Stoyanov, veterinarians in Odessa, Ukraine, who are helping abandoned animals. And Red Shed, that's REDSHED, which lists supplies needed by animal shelters and gives their addresses. Thank you for joining us for the Environment Program for March 30, 2022. This is Karen Wheeler.